Donna.
Brandilla.
Malka.
Good. Hey.
Oh. One of, I don't know if this one has ink. One of them ran out. I don't know if this is the one. Let's see. Yeah. Two more cake. My brother's birthday. He passed away.
The one that passed away.
And then on the 16th is Monroe's birthday.
Oh.
Lisa's the 13th.
Huh?
Lisa. And Joe's is the 25th.
Good evening. Hello.
Hello. Anybody remember where we were?
Yes. We're on the incarnation of Incarnations of Abel, chapter 29, section 2A.
Amazing. I actually remember. Just wasn't sure.
Well, Brandy is here, and I printed her a copy, so that's how I knew so quickly.
Okay. Well, we can begin.
Okay.
The handout is available on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix in row 11, second column from the left. When the landing page for advanced reincarnation classes opens up, scroll down to class 28C, and it will open up to the Incarnations of Abel, chapter 29, section 2A. And we'll start with the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud, Kutshabri Fu, Ishkin Te, Bit Hilu, Urshimu, Uthilu, Uthilu, Urshimu. The Akta, L'shem, Yud He, Bavav He, the Yehuda, Shalim, B'shem, Kol Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah, La Sok Torah Mitzvah, Vaihino, Amadunai Elohinu, Elena Maseya, Deno Kanane, Elena Maseya, Deno Kananehu. As we already know, a ruach cannot reincarnate until the nefesh has first done so and been rectified. This is the teachings from chapter 1, section 2. And it really teaches us that we need to remember and integrate all the different points of teachings that we've learned about reincarnation in order to understand reincarnation, sleeping. When the Ruach itself has been repaired, the Neshama will then undergo rectification. In Abel's case, though, the Nefesh and the Ruach were damaged and mixed together with evil, his Neshama remained completely good. My commentary. Do not make the mistake to read the above paragraph as saying that the Ruach and the Neshama of Abel were mixed together, or that the Ruach and the Nefesh of Abel were mixed together, and that evil was added into that mix. The meaning is that the nefesh was mixed with evil, and the ruach was mixed with evil. What could have happened that this occurred? What sin did Abel do? Why did Abel have to die? The sin was that Abel's sacrifice, although accepted, was brought as a secondary consciousness. As the verse said, Abel also brought a sacrifice. This teaches us a very important spiritual law. We are here to do our spiritual work, not to enjoy physical pleasures as our primary desire. Many people still do not understand this teaching, and it leads many people to lengthen their process, just as it did for Abel. It also means, this is an unwritten part of the commentary, it also means that people may understand the statement intellectually and still continue to make the mistake of following after their eyes, following after their desires to the physical, instead of recognizing their primary purpose is to direct themselves towards the spiritual, and then to bring that spiritual consciousness into their physical activities. Continuing. Thus, when his nephesh reincarnated, it first went to Seth, the son of Adam. This caused the evil to be separated out, which was later given to Balaam, the wicked. In both of these levels, the good and the evil of the nephesh was previously included in Abel. As alluded to in his name, the hay of Abel hints to the good which was given to Seth. This is the secret of the verse. Everything you shata, shin taf, or shin ta, placed under his feet, which has the three letters shin, taf, hey, which is the spelling of the name Seth. My commentary. The addition of the letter hey to the name Seth changes the word from the backside to either drink or to be connected to the backside. One can see how the letter changes because the Ari, when we look into the reincarnation, the Ari hints associations in the Torah. You and I would not normally make these connections, but this can open our own eyes to determine a new chidush in the Torah. It's a tool to understand. Also, we learn from these letter connections that the Ari makes in the reincarnation, we learn our own past relationships, our own past reincarnations. By analyzing our names and the letters in our name, we can learn who in our family we were connected to and perhaps what mistakes that they achieved, that they made. We already explained that this psalm is about Moses, about whom it says, you made him only slightly less than the angels, which is coming from Psalm 8. He is Seth himself, as we will soon explain. The evil of Abel's nephesh is represented by the letters Bet and Lamed, which is the secret of the verse, they know Baal. They know not such judgments, from Psalm 147. For these two letters refer to the Klipot and the Bet Lamed of Bilam. Elohim made this, the Sitra Achra, opposite that, the side of holiness. Balaam stands opposite Moses on the wrong side of the fence. Therefore does Yari put them together in this paragraph. This is seen in Balaam's name. Bet Lamed are the beginning and end letters of the Torah. A, the Ayin, which equals 70, has 70 faces of the Torah, and the Mem, the 40 days that Moses spent on Mount Sinai. And if we put all four letters together, Bet Lamed, Ayin Mem, we have the name Bilam. Lamed Bet is also Lev, meaning heart. The merciful one wants the heart. The Torah was given for the heart, and it associates with Bina. Bina, the Dinim, awakened from it, according to the Zohar. Therefore, these same letters are explained here to refer to the whole of the Sitra Achra. Balaam was a very great soul. Soon we will see that Providence brought him back many times and was busy in his tikkun. His problem was an impure heart, as seen from his reincarnation in Naval, whose heart died in him. Therefore, these heart letters are the ones through which the negative energies nurtured from Balaam. My commentary. In the name Balaam, the Ari is showing us how the Torah hints to the gift of the Torah on Mount Sinai and the relationship between the two aspects of Seth, Moshe and Balaam. It is also hinting at the giving of the Torah to all 70 nations through the giving of the Torah to Balaam. Since Balaam was part of the family of Abraham, as is known. We mentioned previously that even the level of evil that was separated from the good must be of necessity contain an element of holy sparks. And this is the secret of Balaam, the prophet, and what the sages mean when they say that he was equal to Moses, who was from the good of Seth, as we shall explain. The little amount of good that was in Balaam reincarnated into Naval, the Carmelite, which was the beginning of the Tikkun. Balaam's only power was in his mouth, by speaking Lashon Hara, by speaking slander, and by cursing. Therefore, after Pinchas killed him, he reincarnated into a rock that could not speak to rectify the Lashon Hara that came from his mouth. As we stated, a person can reincarnate into domain, inanimate, someach, vegetation, chaya, living, or medaber, speaking levels. However, when Naval followed in his ways and spoke Lashon Hara about King David, saying, "Who is David and who is Ben Yishai?" he reversed the tikkun. Not only did he not rectify the previous sin, but he added to the damage. Therefore, it says, and he was a rock. Since his mazel saw how previously He had reincarnated into a silent stone, and then his heart died within him. King David was the expression of Moses in his generation. Therefore was Nabal, Balaam, against him. Your phone was ringing. King David was, I'm sorry, continuing with my commentary. Elsewhere, the Ari explains that the heart of Nabal died when he was shown his previous incarnation as a rock. This caused Nabal, Balaam, to do teshuvah and achieve his correction. This also helps us to understand the teaching by the Arizal that we need to know what mistakes we made in our last lifetime. It also helps me confirm the teaching that we should not go to readers to find out our previous incarnations, since the readers never, to my knowledge, bring incarnations as animals or plants or inanimate to the people, and therefore they cause the people to become misinformed through half-truths, and that is at the best. It's usually much worse. That is the end of the section. Does anybody have any questions? Chapter 29, Section 2b, the Nefesh, the Ruach, and the Neshama of Abel. The Nefesh of Abel. The good nefesh of Abel was given to Seth. Thus, the good nefesh of Abel was given to Seth, who completely rectified it. The evil part of the nefesh of Abel, which still had some holy sparks in it, reincarnated into Balaam, and then into Nabal. So the letters Bet Lamed are in Nun Bet Lamed of Nabal as well as the Bet Lamed of Balaam. After the Nefesh was completely rectified, it was then possible to rectify the Ruach. The Ruach is from the six extremities of Chesed, Gevura, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, and Yesod, which are included in the three lines of the right, left, and central columns of the Tree of Life. The Ruach of Abel. The Ruach was reincarnated into Noah the Tzaddik, who was at a level of the emanation of the six extremities of the ten inter-included Sephirot of Tiferet. My commentary. This teaching provides a difficulty regarding timing. The Nefesh of Seth was not corrected completely until Nabal and Noach was born much before Nabal. The method to reconcile this difficulty is to realize that Abel rectified his Nefesh and received his Ruach prior to the bringing of the sacrifice, which then caused the falling of the Nefesh. Since there is no disappearance in the spiritual world, this correction of the Nefesh was completed, and Noah could not receive the Ruach-level soul of Seth, even while the Nefesh-level soul of Abel was not yet completed. when he fathered the three sons, the Ruach, which incorporates the mentioned three lines, reincarnated into them. Yefet corresponds to Chesed, Ham to Gevurah, and Shem to Tiferet. The level of Tiferet within Shem is the level of the Sephirah Tiferet itself, which also includes in itself all six extremities. The flood was an expression of its supernal predecessor, Tohu. Tiferet is the Sephirah of harmony and balance. No problem. The flood was an expression of its supernal predecessor, Tohu, and so wrought chaos and havoc in the universe. Noah and his sons rebuilt existence, drawing from the Tikkun dynamic, whose theme is balance. This is the teaching of Etz Chaim. This happened especially through Shem. Abraham came from him and fathered the people who were to accept responsibility for the full tikkun of the world through the Torah, whose intrinsic quality is Tiferet. The world comes from the partsuf of Zerantin. Accordingly, its central energy is Tiferet. However, the Ruach was not rectified since the evil within it was not being completely separated out, as was the case with the Nefesh through Balaam. Since there remained a combination of good and evil, Hevi, the servant of Rabban Gamliel, was born into Ham, Noah's son, who was cursed to be a slave. And this is why he is called Tet Bet Yud, Tevi, because he was from the level of good. In Hebrew, it's spelled Tov, is spelled Tet Vav Vet. And that was still mixed together with evil, and it was given to him. Starting from a negative place, the letters Tet and Bet of goodness was not enough to help him out of it. So he has an additional Yud, the only letter whose form does not touch the bottom of the line. In transcending, energy lifts off the ground, elevating above the hold of the negative forces. Accordingly, Tet Bet Yud equals 21. The gematria of Echie, the name of Bina, the transcending eighth level. The Talmud tells about him in terms of the mitzvah of the sukkah, which draws from Bina. We can learn from his example. Every soul comes to the world with some of the non-blessing baggage of the original sin, according to their root in it. It is what causes all the problems in life. It is possible for each one to elevate above the complications through connecting to Bina, the blessed source of sweetening, and so too they were freed from Egypt through the power of Bina. The Neshama reincarnated into Moses. The Neshama of Abel. Later, the Neshama reincarnated into Moses, since it never contained an element of evil. So it says regarding it, she saw that it, Moses' Neshama, was completely good. unlike the Nefesh and the Ruach, which were mixed with evil. We have already taught that the Ruach cannot come until the Nefesh has been completely rectified. And unlike the Neshama, until the Ruach has achieved Tikkun, once the Ruach has been rectified, then the Nefesh can return with it. Once the Neshama has been rectified, the Nefesh and the Ruach can come and return with it. Since the Neshama of Moses was already rectified, the Nefesh and the Ruach, which had already achieved Tikkun, were able to come back in him. And this is hinted to in his name, with the Shin of Shet, which is Balaam, being part of Moses. In Hebrew, it's Mem Shin He, as well as the two letters of Shin Mem, which is Shem. There is also in Moses' name the He of Abel. The Zohar points out that Shin and Tav are the last letters of the Aleph-Bet. And after Adam's sin, the world went way off base. There was still hope for fixing through his sons Cain and Abel. The former murdering the latter made things fall to the end of the line. Death started the reversal process, which would eventually result in the world being established. Would eventually result in everything being returned to the proper order. Seth or Shet means that from whom the world was established. In Hebrew, it's Hushtat. Shin precedes Tav in his name, just as it does in the Aleph-Bet, signifying that the reverse order of the letters caused by destructive behavior was reset into the place. Shin Mem, which is Shem, has the Shin order, the Shin of order. In his name, it proceeds to take a step further to couple with them, forming the concept of name, that he placed names in the land. Psalm 46:9. Everything gets its existence, its force, from the divine names within creation. The original sin shrouded this. The good deeds of Shem greatly fixed and began to reveal this again. Moses has the Shin and Mem of Shem, plus the He of Abel. Moses has the Shin Mem of Shem, plus the He of Abel, the source that Seth and Shem come to fix. The reconnecting of the source of Moses demonstrates a special degree of tikkun to the whole scenario. He is the letter of Malchut. Moses liberated from Egypt, split the sea, and brought down the Torah, etc. These tremendous accomplishments greatly elevated Malchut and repaired the broken Abel root. And this is the meaning of the verse, "Look, you say to me, and you said, I shall know you by Shem, by name." How could he say this? We don't find the conversation mentioned anywhere in a verse. Rather, it is an allusion to the fact that the Shem reincarnated into Moses. From the words, "I shall know you by Shem, by name," Noah as well reincarnated into Moses, alluded to in the words, and you have found favor in Hebrew, ken, spelled chet nun in my eyes, which is the reverse spelling of Noah. Moses incorporated both roots and used them to help the universe. Noah means both grace and rest. It is used to refer to the graceful Shabbat period. Through the Shem force, he extended the grace to reveal how he calls them all by name, how precious each name and each individual is above. Since Shem is revealed in the letters of Moses, the term of knowing is employed, as it says, know you by name. Since it is known and revealed, however, since Noah is not hinted to in the name Moses, knowing is not mentioned, but finding instead. And you have found favor, as it is something hidden was found. And that's a note that we need to become familiar with. The hidden part of the soul of Noah within Moses became manifest here. The reason for this can be understood based on the Zohar. It compares Noah and Abraham and Moses. Noah did not pray for his generation. Abraham prayed for Sodom, but did not put his life on the line. Moses prayed and offered his life on behalf of the people. Our verse at hand was said after God answered Moses and forgave the sin of the golden calf. Rashi says that Moses saw that it was a time of good favor, so he used it to ask for special things. Putting his life on the line to atone for the golden calf was a tikkun for the whole. For Noah, which is chen, grace. Accordingly, when it was improved through the gate of grace was opened to ask for special things. And this is the secret of the Arizal's revelation here. And this is why Moses responds, if I have indeed found favor in your eyes, then make your ways known to me. But not if you have come to know me by name, if I have found favor. Since the level of Shem was already known to him, already revealed in his name. However, Moses was really saying, I didn't know that the level of Noah was in me, since it was not included in my name. Accordingly, if Noah's aspect is also included in me, and as a result I have found favor in your eyes, in exchange for Noah, make your way known to me, that I may know you, so that I may find favor in your eyes. For also, with respect to Noah, it is now clearly known, since I found favor in your eyes, in order that his aspect should be included in me and made manifest. After this, God gave a great revelation to Moses, and you shall see my back, and my face you shall not see. He showed him the tefillin knot. The Arizal explains that Abigail referred to this level when she said to David, and the soul of my master shall be bound up in the bundle of life. God, your Lord. to fill in awareness is like the back. The level of divine awareness brought to the consciousness on Shabbat is higher than that of tefillin, which was worn during the week. Tefillin awareness is like the back relative to Shabbat. As mentioned, Noah hints to the Shabbat state. It is a state of the world that is coming. On Shabbat, a taste is given to everyone, but it remains mostly hidden. It could not even be fully revealed to Moses. He was given the backside to fill in light. Thus it is like Noah in Hebrew, Noah, spelled Nun Het, backwards. For you have found favor, Hen Nun, in my eyes. My commentary. There are some tremendous revelations in this section, and one needs to contemplate this section frequently until one knows the spiritual law is being revealed. That is the end of the section. Are there any questions? I'm also suggesting that this is a good place to break so that we can contemplate these ideas of Abel and how they were reincarnated and what aspects and what mistakes were made in their reincarnations. Does anybody have any questions?
I'm kind of wondering about when it mentioned that a letter was, I don't know, was it out of order or upside down or something? Because one of my good friends converted, and she had asked me when we were in Israel to bring her one of the signs that say Shalom Y'all, you know, because it's kind of a joke in Southwest Louisiana. And so I bought her one, and I didn't really look at it really well, and I've never given it to her. I've had it in my house for 9 years, and I found it during the week. And when I opened it up, because I was going to give it to her this weekend, and the shin is upside down. I'm sure it was probably made in China.
It's probably made in China. That's correct. There's nothing in the Torah upside down shin. Although if you think about it, the letter shin, you have the white spaces between the three vavs that also create a shin. And that's one of the ways.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's one of the ways that the letter shin represents the emotions, all six emotions, because you have three black lines associated with the revealed emotions and three white lines associated with the concealed emotions. But go ahead and complete your question. I interrupted.
No, it was my sound. I didn't mute this time, and so it doesn't come quite as clear on my phone. It's written in English, Shalom, but the mem is an upside-down shin. And I didn't see that until this morning when I went to, I took it out of the paper. It was wrapped in, some wrapping paper. And I opened it up, and that's when I noticed it. So it could be I noticed it 9 years ago, and that's the reason I hesitated to give it to her and forgot about it. But her name is Shoshana, and she's got chins in her name. And what I didn't understand. Should I not give it to her, or should I give it to her?
I would give it to her, and I would explain to her that the last letter of Shalom is incorrect, that it's an upside-down mm-hmm. shin, and that it's probably a collector's item that she and her family should save, because ultimately it will have great value.
Okay, I'll tell her that. I thought it might be something positive, you know, but I don't know that I would have thought to ask you had I not seen that in today's lesson. So, and she's supposed to go on the Bema and tell her story of her conversion story this weekend. So I wanted to give her a gift, and then I remembered that gift. Of course, I got something else too, but anyway, strange.
I'm surprised that people are discussing their conversion story.
Well, they usually do it at our synagogue. They're called up to the Bema, and they tell their story of how they became, of their journey, I should say. And I think probably that might, the rabbi may feel that that's necessary with the type of people that we have.
I understand that, but just from an Orthodox halakha perspective, once someone converts, it should never be mentioned unless the person brings it up. So mm-hmm. to be telling someone that it's time for you to come up and stand in front of the congregation is to me going against the Orthodox halakha, which the rabbi is taught to a certain degree. It's one thing if someone says, this is my story. If someone's saying, this is my story, it's quite all right to do that. But I wouldn't, to make it part of the congregation's tradition, my expectation is it's going against it.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're such a small group, and when they take the Torah out, they hand it to that person, and they say the Shema. We don't have very many conversions, so that may be why. When we were converted, we were told that nothing would be said. We would, you know, but it would be put in the bulletin that we were as new members. And so that was the way it was 25 years ago. So it's much more relaxed. I always tell you, I felt like we pushed the door down. You know, the ones that pushed the gate first worked the hardest. And, you know, we were really treated with some respects very negatively at first. And that atmosphere has changed completely. But that group of people who are around now, 25 years later, they're no longer around.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, everybody's always real happy now to see new people. And I think they've gotten used to conversions over the last 25 years since we came in.
I appreciate that. I do understand it. And I'm not really saying it's incorrect.
Right, I understand. Well, I find that in circumstances, it doesn't matter where you are. Somehow it always comes out. If it doesn't come out from someone in the congregation that this person is a convert, the convert says it themselves. So I think, you know, probably if it were in a more conservative Orthodox setting, it would be different.
I understand.
Mm-hmm.
But in an Orthodox, at least in the Kabbalistic shul, converts are not, we just don't identify it unless the mm-hmm. convert brings it. And we would, you know, it would really be inappropriate for another member of the congregation to bring out that this person is a convert, because obviously that's Lashon Hara.
Right. Well, everyone at our Shabbat Torah study, and we always have more than a minion, we're all converts except for one. And she's a Baal Teshuva within the last 2 years. You know, so maybe that's another reason. I think the converts outnumber now the Jews born by, you know, by birth.
And that's probably true throughout the world. In the, I don't want to say smaller towns, but smaller communities. You know, synagogues in big cities, that's probably not true. But I would think it's definitely true. That's been my experience when I was traveling from city to city.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't even dealing with small cities. I was dealing with medium cities.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'm glad I asked you the question, and thank you. And I'm glad I can tell her a positive thing. It reminds me, she'll have the tile, I'll have the little turkey. You remember when Hanukkah fell on the same day as Thanksgiving and we had the little turkey menorahs?
Yes. I remember.
Well, I have a turkey menorah, you know. And I felt like one day would probably end up with a story to tell, because I don't think that happens again for many, many years. So when it's passed down, it'll have a little story with it.
Baruch Hashem. Are there any other questions? Do you have a good week, a good Shavua Tov? And tomorrow evening we will have two classes, so I hope you'll join us at 4:30 and again at 7 for the Deep Zohar class as well as the Ariz class. Shalom Gadol to all.
Shalom Gadol. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye, Malcolm.
All right. Thank you. Thank you.